Okay, so while you're getting back to your seats after your little one-to-one, as you said, I just want to tell you a little bit about John, 1 John, that we're looking at today. John was writing from Ephesus, and he was writing to the churches of Asia Minor. This is modern Turkey. And it's around 80, 90 sort of, after AD. So it's about 50, 60 years after Jesus rose. Okay, so John is one of his Jesus' close disciples. He wrote John's Gospel and obviously the other two letters after this one. So John, I don't know if you ever noticed, you read John, he's a bit of a different sort of writer. So he does a lot of different ways of wording things, I suppose you'd say. So we're going to read the passage that you've just read. That which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father, and his Son Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Okay, let's pray that this word really stir us up today. Father, thank you for these words. These are words that we can know you, Lord Jesus. We can know you, Father, through this. And Lord, we thank you for them, that you've preserved them, and so that we can have a relationship with you. And Lord, thank you for this. Thank you. And encourage us, stir our hearts to know you more, we pray. Through you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, you may not know this, but some do know this, that I'm not a very good swimmer. Martin has been trying to teach me how to swim. I have improved a little bit. But for me, when I'm on a boat or any sort of ship that's on water, which no ships are normally on, for me, I feel very much... unless you got the pipe. I feel very much safe wearing something like a life jacket. I actually normally suss out where the life jackets are, even on the paddle steamer. I looked and went, okay, that's where the life jackets are. For me, knowing that gives me assurance that I won't drown. Now, if I see, I'd probably freeze to death, but at least I won't drown, so that really helps my fear. There are many things in life that we fear. That cause fear, maybe losing job or financial security, that sort of thing. You can lose, have fear of that. Losing a friend, family member, that can really have a real fear in that. I remember when Millie was born, it had that first born and everything that happened, you're like fearful, is it going to die because it's got a cough? And you have that real fear of everything. Then when Sam came along, you're like, oh, okay, well, we can produce another one, so that's not too bad. so it wasn't as bad, you know. But we can have a general fear of uncertainty of life. Maybe the fear of getting a life-threatening disease like cancer. We can fear death. But more than that, we can fear life after death. I recently asked a man in his 90s, a quite intelligent man. He was trying to debate me about Christianity and all that sort of stuff, as he does. And I said to him, well, can I ask you a question? Do you have assurance that you'll have life after death? I just thought I'd cut to the chase, stop mucking around. And he shrugged it off and he goes, well, all religions, you know, each religion has a viewpoint on this, and started to quote some different religions. And he sort of just shrugged it off. Who really cares? Who really cares? And we can easily shrug it off sometimes. Who really cares? Well, it's interesting that John writes to Christians because he really does care about them knowing they have eternal life. John is really concerned for them and us to have full assurance in Jesus and the gospel. John, 1 John 5:13 is a major purpose of John's writing. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So he's writing to believers so they may know, not know Jesus, but know that they have eternal life through Jesus. The gospel message of Jesus has a rock-solid promise that we can have assurance of eternal life right now. And it's not because we're such good swimmers, not because we can do something. It's because Jesus, he's our life jacket, and in fact, he's the one that resuscitates us back to life. He's the one that breathes into us life. John wants us to know that Jesus is the life and the word that gives eternal life, and so that we can walk with assurance in knowing these things. Jesus is our life jacket that will keep us from drowning, and the one that resuscitates us from life, from death to life, by changing our hearts, regenerating our hearts. John wants us to know that Jesus is real and true, and therefore we can walk with assurance knowing this, rather than believe a lie about Jesus. John wants us to know that we can and do have real fellowship with God, so that we can share in the joyful assurance of eternal life that John has come to know in Jesus. Like I said, one purpose in John's writing is the passage in 5:13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That is one purpose. A lot of people focus on that purpose. It is a big purpose. But John also tells us that he writes these things so that you will share in his complete joy in 1:4. Also so that we don't sin in 2:1. Also that we know our sins are forgiven in 2:12. And also in 2:16, so we're not led astray by false teachers. So there is a big purpose, but there's other purposes in this letter that help us walk with assurance. John writes so we can have full assurance and confidence in Jesus. Isn't it a great letter? Isn't it a letter we need today? So that we can walk trusting fully in Jesus and not be led astray by false versions of Christianity, not be led away by false Christianity. Not the made-up Jesus that's not based on truth. There's nothing worse than people having an opinion on what they think Christianity is really about, or Jesus is really, or people have an uninformed opinion of religion. You know, we have a culture that's got so many opinions of what Jesus is like. You know, and who is the real Jesus sometimes? It's like we sometimes preach on that. I had that same with religions. They have an opinion on a religion. I mentioned this last year, but I mentioned it again. I had a conversation with someone about Islam, who had a family member who was studying Islam and the Quran. And the family member had become very anti-Islamic, believing it to be evil. And the person I spoke to said they were so disappointed about their family member being anti-Islamic, as everyone knows that Islam is a peace-loving religion. And I asked the person, have you read the Quran? And they said, no. But your family member has read the Quran and has a view on Islam. Yes. I said, you would have to assume they are more likely to be right about Islam if they'd read the Quran than you. Pretty obvious. In conclusion, they didn't like that. What I discovered was that often we filter things that we believe through our own opinion on that. We hardly base many things we do, many opinions, on clear truth. So rather, it's more of a hunch formulated by the information we already know. So it doesn't matter what the Quran says. If I've already got this information somewhere, I've picked it up, that must be right because I filter it through what I already know, not the actual facts. But we do that even as Christians. We can do that as Christians. We can hear stuff that's actually not in the scripture, and we actually filter our Christianity through what's actually not in the scripture, and therefore come up with a different interpretation or opinion. It's only until someone takes you to the scripture and shows you actually this is what it says, the bell goes, or the whistle goes, or whatever, ding dong. At the time of John, 1 John, people were saying all sorts of things about Jesus. Remember, it's been about 50, 60 years after Jesus has walked on the earth, so why not make some good stories about him? He's pretty popular, why not sort of infiltrate that a bit with your own version of Jesus? And that's what was happening with the Gnostics. They were doing that. John wants us to know the real Jesus. That's why he writes this. And who better than John? He spent over 3 years with Jesus, and he tells us what Jesus is like. He can have the authority to do that. John knew Jesus. He walked, he talked, he heard Jesus speak. He ate with Jesus. And he knew when Jesus needed to use the bathroom. He knew everything about Jesus very intimately. So what John tells us is authentic, true Jesus. And he tells us that we can know this same Jesus too, through his words. So today I want to bring up 4 points. from these four verses in 1 John 1. Jesus is the life, verses 1 to 2, Jesus is eternal life. Secondly, Jesus was really human, it's verses 1 and 2 again. Thirdly, walking, what it's like to walk in real fellowship, verses 3, and then walking with complete joy, verse 4. Okay, so let's read verses 1 to 2 to look at point 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. I'm going to put the Bible down now. Got most of it on the sheets. Jesus is the eternal God. He is the God who came and entered into our time and space. The very God who spoke in Genesis to create life. In the beginning, this God came. Jesus was there from the beginning. He was eternal. That's what John's saying to us. He was there eternally with God the Father. There has never been a time when Jesus didn't exist. He's always existed. He is eternal. He is our eternal God. And this is what Jesus also taught about himself in John 8:58 and many other times in Scripture. But one was, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And the Jewish people knew what that meant. He was connecting himself to being God. That's why he got crucified. He claimed to be God. It was Jesus' word that spoke life into the universe. We exist because of Jesus, who is the word of life. So Jesus is more than just a man. He is the very divine God where all life originates from. That's why John calls him the word of life, the eternal life. When we proclaim the gospel of Jesus, we proclaim eternal life. Like I said, this letter was written about 50 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. So John had a reliable testimony of Jesus and what he was like. There would have been people around who the readers could have asked, is this true? Is this correct? They would have been still alive. John isn't making assumptions of who Jesus is. John is claiming this is who Jesus is and how we can have a life and fellowship in him. If you were to ask me what it's like to live in England, well, I could give you some assumptions. I could tell you some stories. But if you asked Kath, she could tell you exactly what it was like because she was there for a year. Before we were married, when she was about 18, she went over there. 18, 19. She spent a year in England. She can tell you what it's like. She can tell you what the weather's like. She can tell you firsthand because she experienced it. The same is with John. He was there with Jesus. We can have assumptions of Jesus. The Gnostics can have assumptions of Jesus. Any religion can have assumptions of Jesus. But John says, what I say is true because I was there. And clearly a Jesus who is not God, who is not John's Jesus, not divine, he's not divine, is not the real Jesus. That's what John is saying. He's not the real deal. John was an eyewitness. Eyewitness to the great miracles that Jesus did. He saw him raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons, calm the storm. He was there. He saw the real Jesus in action. He saw the real divine Jesus in action. The problem is that many of us don't like the divine Jesus, who is the life of all creation. So rather than accept and believe the real Jesus according to truth, we prefer the less divine, good teacher Jesus according to rumour, according to what we think. Because if Jesus is really divine, the only way to have life, the only way to have eternal life, the only true life, then it's only through Jesus we can have that eternal life. So Jesus matters and we're accountable to him. But if we can dismiss that, we can think in our minds that we're not accountable to him. And sadly, many people reject Jesus because they prefer their own version of Jesus. John tells us that he was a witness to who Jesus was. He was there with Jesus, saw firsthand. He went fishing with Jesus. He was there. The very eternal life, the word that all people need, he saw it. He witnessed it. He testifies to it. If we want the real Jesus, and if we want to find the real life and real joy, we can only find it in John's Jesus,
the way John describes Jesus and the rest of the apostles describe Jesus. Our second point is that Jesus was really human. That which was from the beginning, verse 1 again, that was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. I remember a Facebook post. It was a dramatic, sad post I've seen on Facebook. It announced the death of Rowan Atkins, Mr. Bean, and it was about July last year. And I remember seeing all the people responding, "Oh my goodness, this is so terrible, so sad, so missed." Everyone was in tears, but it was actually just a scam, just to see if people would actually believe something on Facebook. He wasn't dead. It was simply just a made-up post. But interestingly, people believed the Facebook post as authentic and real and true. Oh no, we couldn't doubt that for a second. Many didn't Google it, they simply believed it. How many think... And yet many people would say Christianity is fake, it's made up, Jesus is not real, or at least he's not divine. And happy to think that Jesus isn't real, and yet also happy to believe a post on Facebook as true and real. That's where we're at as a culture. But it wasn't much different in this culture. Jesus had died and had risen. These were historical truths that John proclaims. Jesus was real, and John and the other apostles saw a real Jesus. Could you imagine them, John and the other disciples, spending time with Jesus, our God, our very God, the relational God, who came down and was manifest to them and fellowshipped with them? John tells us he was there. They heard Jesus speak with their ears. They heard him. They saw Jesus with their eyes. They touched his hands. They touched, they went fishing with Jesus. They hang out. Jesus was revealed to them. He'd become human. At the time of John, some were teaching that Jesus actually didn't come in the flesh. He actually came just as a spirit. It's all different versions of this. But this was the Gnostics. They had come to the conclusion this is the Jesus who's the real Jesus, because in their thinking, the human body was evil. So if Jesus came, how could he have had a body that's evil? So therefore, we've got to dismiss the real Jesus to take on a fake Jesus. And so the Gnostics were trying to influence the church with their thinking, just like false teachers do today. They're trying to influence our thinking on who Jesus is. And so rather than accept the truth of Jesus coming in the flesh, they chose to believe a Jesus according to their ideas and their beliefs. They rejected the Jesus who the apostles knew over the Jesus they thought fits into their religion. But these false teachers never experienced Jesus. They simply assumed who Jesus was and filtered Jesus through their beliefs. We've got many religions that do that today. But John says this is who Jesus is. Any other Jesus is a fake Jesus, and you will not find life in that fake Jesus. People today will often say they have a Jesus that suits their beliefs. They say they like surely Jesus wouldn't judge certain cultural things like same-sex marriage. We make a Jesus try and fit into our thinking. We have religions who have their own Jesus. Islam, Mormons, J-dubs. I parked yesterday in front of a certain place in town that has catalogues out the front, near a music shop, and out the front of that had a pamphlet. Sorry, this ain't J-dubs. Out the front of that had a pamphlet, how to sort of know God. And you don't even believe in who Jesus is. You don't believe Jesus is divine in a sense, equal with God. So you've got the starting point's just all skewed. But they have a Jesus. He's just not John's Jesus. So therefore, he's a Jesus that won't give you life and joy. There are all sorts of varied opinions on Jesus. They can't all be true. John says his is true. I was there. But I remember many years after World War II. I remember many years ago, some people after World War II were claiming, as in like the 80s or 90s, were claiming that the Nazi Holocaust never happened. So most of these people didn't even live in Poland.
I have a sister-in-law that lived in Poland. They actually, those concentration camps were near her. She knew about them. She had seen them. They're there. But I wish she would have had family members that would have been killed in those camps. Now, these people, though, despite all the evidence of the Holocaust happening, despite all the evidence of the eyewitnesses, of people who were there, they still believed it didn't happen. They tried to recreate history. But the people who were there, the Jewish people, who experienced those camps, can testify to the truth. They can testify to the truth. I was there. John testifies to the truth about Jesus. He was there. The false Gnostics teachers, they weren't there. The people today who would label Jesus as something else are not reading the Jesus in the scripture. They simply make a Jesus to suit themselves. And if you're going to reject the Jesus, at least reject the right one. Reject the true Jesus, not the one made up in your head. Jesus is divine. Jesus is eternal life, the eternal life that all people need. So like John, we want to proclaim the real Jesus to all people. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, as he proclaims to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and made manifest to us. Our next point is looking at Christian fellowship in 1 John. I wonder what for you Christian fellowship looks like. What a fellowship looks like for you. Maybe it's enjoying our time together, sharing a meal. Maybe it's a Bible study. You could have a Bible study at Joash's or Kath's, their place. We can all have some different ideas of what real fellowship is. Verse 3 in John. That which was seen and heard we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So John tells us in verse 3 what real authentic fellowship is. Real fellowship is connected to the truth of who Jesus is. Fellowship is connected to John's witness and testimony of Jesus. Like I said, John was apostle, and he spoke with the authority of God as to the truth of Jesus. John was there, he knew Jesus, he had fellowship with Jesus. Now the word fellowship is more than simply a good friendship, and it's more than a great barbecue lunch, which we're going to have today after church, that's great, but it's more than that. The meaning of fellowship was partnership. Two men would buy a boat, and together they'd start a business, a fishing business together. That was fellowship. That was partnership. That's how the original listeners would have understood that word. It was having a common interest and purpose together, which was why the truth of Jesus being the life and word of God was important. It was the truth that in Jesus we can have eternal life. These truths were the common interest that brought them together in partnership and fellowship. I want to tell you something interesting. I've just got WhatsApp on my phone. And it's really cool. So if anyone knows what it is, that's really good. But I'm doing a Bible study through Matthew on WhatsApp. Ed is doing a Bible study with me. Edward is doing a Bible study with me. And Edward lives in Bali, which is quite handy because Millie's learning Indonesian. And he's a Christian businessman. Now, there are two things that Ed and me have in common. We both know Jesus as Lord, and we both know Chad, who was my best man at my wedding. But I've never met Ed. I've never even seen Ed. I don't even know what Ed looks like. I know a little bit. I know he's got two kids, and his name's Edward, and he's got a surname. He lives in Bali. That's about it. Does he sell barley? No. He used to have a shoe shop, apparently, about half a dozen or something. As Ed and me study the word together and share this word together, we have fellowship. I'm having fellowship with Ed. Ed's not here. Ed's not with me. John had never met maybe some of these people that he's writing to. This was a letter scattered out to the church, and he says he's having fellowship with them. They can enter his fellowship. He's never met us. John's never met us. You don't know who John is. You know he's in there, but he says you can have fellowship with him. The readers may have never met John, and they definitely may never have met Jesus, and either have we met Jesus in person, but John has. So like his readers,
we can have fellowship with Jesus, in a sense, through John, not in a sense like a Catholic thinking, like he's some sort of saint sort of thing, but through his words that he writes about Jesus. John tells them and us something amazing, that we can have fellowship with him, and that means that we have fellowship with Jesus and God the Father. It's like a family. Like I said, John wasn't there with them, John wasn't with us, and yet we're having fellowship with John, just as I'm having fellowship with Ed. Real Christian fellowship is knowing Jesus intimately through John and the apostles, who bring us the real Jesus. Christian fellowship is based on who Jesus is, not simply bringing people together. Make sure we understand this. Because we can get various opinions of Christian fellowship, but real Christian fellowship is found in Jesus and the Father through his word. Like I said, John wasn't present with them to experience this fellowship, and yet he says they are sharing the same fellowship with him. And don't forget, John is writing to believers who have the Holy Spirit. So these are believers who have the Holy Spirit, who needed what he's writing to have fellowship. We can't have real fellowship, we can't have real community unless we have a real Jesus. It's only possible to have the real Jesus is through his word. It may be called fellowship, the name, but if who Jesus is up for grabs, up for various opinions, and we ignore the very truth found in his word, we do not have real Christian fellowship. The best we have is nothing more than community social activities. Real fellowship can be experienced today in Jesus, the word of life, as we know his truth and found in his word. And point four, the result of knowing Jesus and having fellowship with Jesus is joy. That's verse 4, it's our final point. Verse 4, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And some translations actually say your joy. So, notice, it's sort of a bit of confusion. John's a bit of a funny writer, but notice how we share with John in his joy. As we know Jesus, we share in that joy. It's not a partial joy, but it's a complete, full joy. We read last week, and we did a sermon last week on Jesus is the vine, and in that I spoke about Jesus spoke the words of life so that his eternal joy would be in them. That's what he said in John 15:11, same guy who writes this letter. I saw a connection. There's a joy that he wants them to have, and then John wants them to know this joy too. Both books. So that not only the disciples, though, know this joy, but we too can have complete joy. We have joy when we fellowship through God's word in Jesus and in the Father. We have joy when we fellowship with each other as God's family. We're all fellowshipping as God's family. And in this we find a joy that's complete in Jesus. If one of your life finds a complete joy, could it be that Jesus is missing and you look for joy in many other things, but you ignore the very true Jesus who has eternal life? And the Jesus who can offer you eternal life and real fellowship and complete joy, he's not to be seen in your life. But Jesus, John says, and Jesus says, you can have it right now if you put your trust in Jesus. Interesting enough, we have a God who doesn't want us to walk in insecurities to our eternal life. Jesus wants our lives to walk with complete assurance and joy. We can have joy knowing that our sins are forgiven, that Jesus became a man who died in our place on the cross. We can have joy in that. That on the cross our sins are dealt with. We can have joy in that. We can walk in joy of assurance knowing we have eternal life. It's not what us, not what we do, it's what Jesus has done. And so we can enjoy real fellowship with God and those in God's family through Jesus. We can have joy that our fellowship is with a real resurrected Jesus who is eternally God. He's not some dead teacher as other religions who want to make up their own Jesus would talk about. No, he is a risen Saviour who is eternally God. Not some version of Jesus made up by religion or culture. And if you're experiencing that joy today, as you hear Jesus speak through John, what can we learn? What can we learn from John, 1 John? What can we
we learn from 1 John? John is saying in these four verses in chapter 1, Jesus is true and he was there. And he had fellowship with Jesus, with the eternal word and life. And it was real and gave him complete joy. And so John invites us to share with him in that same joy found in Jesus. So if someone tells you that you don't experience the same fellowship they have with Jesus, point them to these verses. You share with John in the truth of who Jesus is. And this fellowship is with John through his word. And this fellowship is with Jesus through the word. John wrote these words to believers so that through them they can have joy. And like I said, they all have the Holy Spirit, these believers. But they need to hear these words. I want to say, don't be lured into thinking that a Christianity that takes God's word seriously is a boring Christianity. John tells us there is a real joy in studying his words and other words of the apostles, which are God's word. The only way to know the real Jesus, the real eternal life, is studying the word of God, studying the apostles' teaching, who have the authority to proclaim the true Jesus. Many will claim a Christianity not based on the real Jesus. Many will claim that you can have fellowship without the real Jesus. But you can't. You can't. John says you can't. It's just a friendship or a social club. You can't have Christian unity without true fellowship that's based around who Jesus is. True Christian fellowship founded in God's word to know the true Jesus. So if someone tells you also that you can't be assured that you have eternal life, take them to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Take them and read John. You can have assurance. You can walk with assurance that your salvation is secure. This doesn't mean as a believer you won't have fears and doubts about things. But what is for sure is that our God desires for you to walk with assurance. Whether you have the doubts and fears, he's speaking to you to say you can have assurance of eternal life through Jesus. So like John, we want to proclaim the real Jesus to others. And in this, invite others to share in the same fellowship and joy that we have in Jesus through John. Let me conclude by saying, if John's Jesus is not our Jesus, then we have a made-up Jesus. And that's not based on real truth. If Jesus is not John's Jesus, then we do not have real fellowship with God and others. And we will not share a joy that's complete. John wants us to know these truths so we today can walk with assurance that we are in Christ, eternally secure. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for these words that give us assurance and hope. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. Lord, help us not to be discouraged when people would claim a different Jesus. But Lord, help us to dive into your word and see who you really are. And Lord, let us grow in the knowledge of you. So that as we hear you speak, we can hear your words that give us assurance of our salvation, assurance of life after death. But Lord, let us walk now. Not just hope for the end, but let us walk now with that assurance. That it's only through you, Lord Jesus, that we can do this. But we thank you that you preserved your word so we can know you. So thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord, for that real fellowship that we have through you. We pray that it will just continue and grow. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus. Amen.